Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hello and welcome to Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling, Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down a show from the TLC network, the name of the network that I believed was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. When I found out it actually stood for the Learning Channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. I'm just honestly, with this intro, I was doing it word for word and line for line. Now I'm skipping lines, can't remember any of it, even though I've been doing it for a year and a half, and it's all a mess. But guys, we are coming to you with another messed up intro. But Kate and I pick a show every week to break down and study from the massive backlog of TLC and Discovery Plus shows and all their insanity. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Pauline. How's it going?
Not well. No, it's going. It's going very well. It's going very well. I'm happy to be here to discuss an odd show that I don't know if I was going to have anything to write about, but then I looked deeper into the madness of the eyes of the host and I thought, huh, there's more here that I could talk about with this show. So I'm going to have enough. I definitely, we're recording this on a Monday, and you know, you always want to start the week off with something positive, right? We're all going into a new week. We're going to start with something positive. For me, I started off the week gaining a new pet peeve, and I want to tell you what it is.
Okay, let's hear it.
I don't understand the type of person that does this. So my friend and I over the weekend went for a hike, which I told you about, and we went to a beautiful area in Los Angeles. It's not the bullshit usual places like the
Runyon.
So I couldn't even forget it. Runyon, which just smells like dog piss and people just go there to be seen. We went to a place called Tree People. And Tree People was gorgeous. It's off Mulholland and Coldwater. And they have massive preservation efforts there. Tons of volunteers you see them with their seedlings and planting all of this horticulture. It's just lovely. It's beautiful. And the views are unbelievable. It's like Fryman Canyon. It's gorgeous. So anyway, it's usually quite populated. We went at kind of a busy time, but everyone is just in the thick of nature and it's beautiful. Then you get the people that decide everyone should listen to what they're listening to. So instead of being in nature, listening to the birds, I saw a gopher, which was so cute, spotting the beautiful wildlife and animals and everything that's there, they decide to be walking down a canyon with either their phone or some other dickhead had a full-on speaker full volume with their music
yep.
playing. Who, what type of person does this? The level of arrogance you have to have to go, you know what? I want to listen to music and I don't care that it's going to disturb everyone else because I want to listen to it.
It's like people eating a fish sandwich on a plane.
Ew.
Come on. I despise that as well. One time I was hiking here in Austin, one of the green belts, and it's this gorgeous area. You know, there's creeks and all the things you want. Like you say, birds are chirping. Mm. And we come across this group of friends who not only is blasting music on speakers, but they have them attached to remote control cars that they are crashing into each other. And I was like, why are you here with that? That's not the place. Not the place.
Just, I nearly lost my shit. My friend had to calm me down because I didn't need to get into a physical fight in at 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday at a peaceful location. But I was nearly there. It's just, okay. So I start off my week with a new pet peeve. So add that
yep.
to the list of any pet peeves I have.
It's such a vibe killer. I totally get that.
Oh, awful. Any pet peeves you would like to share, or do you want to get on with the show, Kate?
We can get on with the show. All right, guys. So we are talking about a show called Kiwi Survival.
Mm.
This premiered August 2020, which it makes sense to me that this is a weird pandemic show.
I didn't get that. Okay. Yeah.
It premiered August 2020 on USA Network. It's now on Discovery Plus. Mm-hmm. And this is how it's described. Josh James and his fellow guides, Dan, Mule, and Sam, push themselves to the limit on a challenging 7-day excursion to New Zealand, testing bushcraft techniques and survival adventures for their clients.
So Wheel of Shame pitched this, and it was a full season. So we'd said last week before we'd seen it, looked at it, we were just like, oh, we'll just do the first episode. I went on there and I text Kate because I realized there's a whole series, but they're only 9 or 8 minutes each, which was incredibly confusing. None of it's linear, by the way. You think it is, but there's no follow through with anything. So I'm like, I text Kate and I was like, well, let's just watch the whole series. And she's like, fine. Okay. So I sit down and now, as I put on our Instagram, Tender Love and Care podcast, Steve Irwin, I was a massive Steve Irwin fan. I remember him being on English television, obsessed with him. When I went and was in Australia for a long period of time, I went to his zoo and we actually saw him on a quad bike. It was the greatest moment ever. He did so much for wildlife. And he was fantastic. He was an absolute maniac, though, and completely manic and running around in those short shorts all the time. But we loved him. We all loved him. This Josh James, now we're in New Zealand here, and I've been to New Zealand. I haven't been, they were in the South Island. I've only been to the North Island. And New Zealand's beautiful. First of all, unbelievable beauty. You get snow, you get everything you can imagine. I went where they filmed Lord of the Rings, and it's just magical. I mean, New Zealand really is, and it's underpopulated, but it's so far from everything. You do feel like there's a time delay. I know that sounds kooky. You go to Auckland, which is a huge city, but I just always felt like I was, which I was, extremely far away from home, from England. And I always just felt like I'd stepped a little bit back in time, just a little bit. And it was beautiful and it was wonderful. And I really enjoyed it. And I'd love to go to the South Island where they were. But you meet this guy, Josh James, and he has that mania. And I don't use that word lightly, of Steve Irwin. These eyes of his were like he had just been released from Bellevue. I mean, they were, there was something going on. But it was pure love of the bush. So we find out that he's a Kiwi, he's from New Zealand, and it's his friends. And like you say in the description, Kate, they do these survival tours. And the whole premise of this entire show is that we're going to see them, they're going for 7 days to do this, I guess, even more extreme it was never, by the way, nothing's described in this show. Nothing's described.
No.
So, but it was kind of like, we're going to go 7 days on a really crazy route to see if we can take our clients on it, because they own a company, I guess, where they take their clients and tourists out for excursions. But we're going to do like, it's going to be like ultimate survival. So like you say, we meet all these people. And everything apart from a couple of interviews are all filmed. They seem to be on a handy cam or like a GoPro. And I'm halfway through this first episode, which was all of 8 minutes long. And I start to think it's like a Taiki Waititi, I've just pronounced him wrong, Waititi mockumentary. I felt like it was like a What We Do in the Shadows, the original film. I thought it was like a mockumentary. I'm thinking, oh, no, this is what it is.
That would have been a much more enjoyable way to watch the show if I had put that lens on it. It reminded me of a YouTube channel. I was like, this seems like a guy who's just like filming stuff with his bros and putting up content. You know, it didn't seem like a fully formed show at all to me, but that's so funny what you say about it being a mockumentary.
That's what I thought, because guys, we're meeting these people, Josh, Sam, Dan, and Muir. Okay, they're all mates. And I do believe they all work in doing this kind of excursions for tourists. Now, they all have different expertise. Some of them hunting. So I did have to skip some of these episodes. Some of them hunting, and then others are survival experts, whatever. But they're all like experts, right, in this field. And they can go and live in a fucking mountain in the middle of New Zealand in the winter and survive. That's what we're led to believe. Then we start to see the first episode is this Josh who's constantly kind of like this all the time, at 10, really, really always constantly at 10. The eyes are bugging out and he's like, right, let's get everything together. Yeah, let's get everything together. So they start packing stuff. It is so manic. These are survival experts. They're just like, I'll just shove that in there. I don't know if we can have another, probably can't do another tent. I don't know, just bring like two tents or something. I don't know, maybe just bring it, whatever. One guy's wearing completely little short shorts. Tiny Steve Irwin-esque short shorts. Unclear what he was doing. So we get this whole scene. They look completely cracked out. And I really do think at this point, this is a mockumentary. And they're like, just shove it in the bag. Yeah, it's fine. That's fine.
Knives, machete.
Yeah. We're not bringing guns. We're leaving those at home. He says, we don't do anything with guns. It's all knives and machetes or whatever. So we're at Josh's place where he lives. And then we find out, we see this long-suffering wife that comes up. I mean, honestly, I'm looking at it now. This was a joke. I don't think this was a real show. Okay, I'm telling you. This woman comes out of the house, and they call it the homestead, and she comes out and she's like, hi. And he's like, yeah, I got her from the big city in a big city in Canada. So she's a Canadian. She's like, yeah, I used to work in a bar in Canada, and now I kind of, you know, live with like my husband, who goes out and like eats bugs and goes away for like 7 days at a time, living in a mountain. So yeah, stuff has changed. It's cuckoo. They have like three kids, and Josh goes to say goodbye to them. And he says, kisses his wife, he says goodbye to the kid. The younger one he picks up and hugs, and the other ones he shakes their hands. It was so weird.
I know. I was like, who are these people?
I didn't, they lived kind of like on, it was like kind of a farm, but it was all in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh. There's this little shack where they're getting ready, and he's like, this is where I hang out like with the guys. And it's just such a ragtag group of guys in there. Like, he's like, oh, I have like a pair of socks and a knife and pants. And I was like, I get more prepared to go on a 2-hour hike in the middle of a city than these guys were getting ready for a 7-day trip in the middle of nowhere.
7 days in the wilderness. It wasn't winter. I think it looked like spring or perhaps autumn.
Yeah.
But they, like you say, yeah, they're getting all ready. And they're just taking the piss out of each other. Oh, you bring pants, are you? Or you're only wearing shorts. Okay, fine. Well, you don't need that, whatever. Shove it in the bag. And then he just goes, oh, there's heaps in here. It's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like, fine. And so they're shoving all this stuff in. End of episode one. And you're like, what?
End of episode one. Yeah. There's no beginning, middle, end. You're just, it just plays.
None.
You're like, okay. And then they get out there. And I mean, what do you have for the beginning? Mine kind of jumps to where they're trying to start a fire.
All of it should have just been said. It's just unclear. I don't get what they're doing. So it opens episode two and I'm just going, yeah, but can someone just rewind a little bit and tell me exactly what you're doing? I get it. You want this whole excursion, but where are you getting? They're just climbing up a mountain. Then they're going, oh my God, look, there's so many. So I'm not good at New Zealand accent. I mean, sorry, I haven't workshopped my New Zealand accent. So it's going to sound very Australian, but they're like, oh, there's like snowberries. Oh my God, get some snowberries. So then they're all just eating these berries off the side of a mountain. And then they're like, yeah. And they're all wearing barely anything. They're like, okay. Yeah, if we go like maybe we should go and like camp at the top. I don't know. Like maybe we could get up there. And then one's like, nah, look how steep, man. Like, let's just camp here. Okay. And so then they decide to just camp where they are. But I'm like, where are you going? And what is the plan here? So they just decide to camp at the side of a mountain. Okay, fine, I guess.
Most of these shows that we watch that are similar to this, they would have like interstitials where it would be like they would zoom out and there'd be a map and it would show us on the map like, here's where we are. We're at base camp and we're going to go to the top of the map. You know, there was no, yeah. You're right. There was no narration. There was no structure to it whatsoever. It was just them kind of sitting around and doing things on a whim, not really explaining like, I don't know, the goals of it all.
Objectives. What are your objectives on day one to day seven? Because we see them, they go to a swamp. And then I felt as though Josh, that was his main guy, yeah, was starting a fight with the audience the entire time. Because he's like, he goes, oh, they'd build a structure. And that's when we would get like a scene of like a map and they draw out, okay, we're putting this angle of wood to this angle of moss or whatever to build a structure. And then it would cut back to him and he goes something like, it had all fallen apart or something. And these are experts, by the way. It all fallen apart. And then he'd just go, well, what are you going to do? Stay at home, watch television. And I felt personally very attacked by that. I felt very attacked. I was like, that's pointed. Sorry. I mean, he was like angry at the people that are down the camera lens. So they're at a swamp and then they forgot something called the rain floor. They're like, oh my God, who forgot the bloody rain floor? So the rain floor was like, we go back to when they were manically packing at his house and someone's like, who forgot the rain floor? And it's this whole thing that you put down. It's pouring with rain and they are in a swamp. I should not. They are in a swamp. It's pouring with rain. So it's like, oh, I forgot it. So this was a whole thing that you put down that elevates you above water so you can sleep on something dry and hard. They just forgotten it. So then they're like, all right, we've got to like build it now. Come on. And then they try. Then they're all getting like angry. And I'm like, this is going to end in a bloodbath. I honestly thought it was going to end up like a Blair Witch. None of them were going to survive because they're like, come on, over here. And they're trying to build this structure together. And then there's a diagram appears on the screen of how they're going to do it. But it's flooding. And they're like, well, sometimes you don't forget. And there's all this weird tension between them, but they're all best mates.
And people pay them for this experience, apparently.
And one guy's still in his short shorts, by the way. So I'm like, so this was episode two, just swamp, mountain, and then swamp. And then there were a couple of episodes, AK. I don't know if you watched them. I didn't because it was hunting, so I didn't watch them.
Yeah, there's a big, big segment, maybe an entire 8-minute episode is them trying to start a fire with sticks. And they have no flint or anything. They're... Eventually, one of them's like, does someone have a shoelace? And he throws a shoelace. And then eventually, after what seems like hours, they get a tiny little spark. And then it's like, next episode. You're like, okay. I thought they were supposed to be good at this stuff.
I know that one of them had brought a lighter because we saw that in the first episode. He's like, I've got a lighter. Oh, but and then they shake it like, oh, there's not much in here.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Nope. They prepared as if there was a natural disaster about to hit and they had to run out in.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
2 minutes. That's how they prepared.
And by the way, tourists are supposed to go, I'm going to trust my entire life with you for a 7-day expedition. You know the word I'm trying to find. Then I skipped all these ones where I saw they were doing something with animals because they didn't bring any food, obviously. So instead of the snowberries or whatever, they were trying to find something else, which I don't want to go into.
It's a possum. Yeah. Bugs, possums. Yeah.
Then the rafting, Kate. Hi. One of the quotes is, oh yeah, getting a little bit hypothermia here.
It looked so miserable.
They decide they hit this raging water, right? Raging water. And they're like, yeah, so we actually only brought two rafts and two paddles. So sorry, what?
They should have named the show that we actually only brought.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, so what we're going to do, I don't know how any of us are going to get through this water. Like, no idea. So then they're like, come up with the idea of blowing up, I don't know, something to, so they had like sticks that they kind of crossed each other to make a rectangular shape. Then they had, it was something that they could inflate to put on there. And they go, this is going to elevate us so I can sit on the structure and then get down the river. But then they realize, oh no, it's not going to work. So I'm just going to have to lie over it. So he was spread eagled. He goes, I'm just going to have to be like spread eagle over. And one of them is just in a raft going, ha ha, he looks like he's going to get hypothermia. Just laughing at him. And so the other guy is spread eagled, arms and legs out, like in an X over this just really just four sides of like a little bit of wood that's just keeping afloat. His entire body's in the water. He's like, yeah, the water's freezing and there's a severe risk of drowning. But, you know, just keep going. Ha! Manic. Absolutely manic. Then there's two of them that are in the rafts that are just having a grand old time. They're just laughing at him. And he's going down. They're like, rock, rock. This is like raging whitewater rafting. They're like, rock. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And I just, and then let me see what my notes are. And then, this was brilliant. I swear to God, Kate, I don't know if you got this in your notes. He said that. After they discover that they only have two rafts and two paddles, he goes, ha, yeah, we should really do a checklist for when we leave for things like this. We should really do a checklist for when we leave for things like this. No shit. You are survival experts.
Are they though? Or are they just guys that somehow got this show? I mean, where was the expertise? Where was it?
I know where the madness was, and it was in all of their minds and their eyes. So they get to a beach finally, and it's the end of day 7. And they're like, ha ha, bloody hell, like we all survived. Kind of hypothermic, you know, really need to sleep. But this was a great test run for our clients. Like, was it? Was it?
Is this just supposed to be a comedy? Like, we're like, oh, these idiots. What was the pitch room for this? Like, we always think about this. How did they pitch this show?
How, Kate, why do we not have a television show? If these bunch of dum-dums had a TV show where they're basically filming their inevitable death. That's what they were filming on this. And then one of the quotes, when they finally get out of the water and everything, Josh goes, yeah, might be a bit too much for some of our clients. And I just wrote, no shit.
You think?
You barely survived it.
Wait, I'm looking him up. He does have a YouTube channel.
Oh, brilliant.
That's brilliant. How he got the show. And he has a Patreon, the Kiwi Bushman Adventure Vlogs. He's got 97,700 subscribers on YouTube.
Guys, go to his channel and look into the eyes of Josh, because I will tell you, it is the same look that I see on a daily basis living in Los Angeles from some certain individuals that live in downtown Los Angeles. And that's all I'm saying. That is the type of look that is in the eyes of Josh. It's like screaming into the abyss. That's what it's like with it. Anyway, then he comes home, right? So we still get this segment of him coming home. And this honestly was one of my favorite. And once again, I'm still at this point going back to, no, this was a joke. This was a mockumentary. He comes home and the wife's like, ah, so glad you're home. Because when he left, she's like, I get so much peace when he goes. So he comes home and he's like, ah, I've still so much energy. Even though he's like, oh, I could bloody sleep for like 3 days. Anyway, who wants to eat these grubs? So he has these grubs that he kind of cooks. And so he goes through all of his kids. And this was one of the funniest things. So he goes, Sonny Jim, who is his youngest kid, he goes, yeah, Sonny Jim, he spends most of his time like karate kicking trees over. So he's a great kid. Great kid. What? This kid was just running from like a tree to another tree, eating grubs. Insane. Okay. And then he says that there was this other kid. He's like, yeah, he's kind of like more thoughtful and like he's a little bit of an adventurer. So he's kind of like the best of her, best of me. He goes, and then it was nice. He's like, and then my eldest son, like, he doesn't like to go out at all. He wants to be on his computer the whole time, but he's really, really smart. He's going to do really, really well. So it was kind of cute how he said that about his eldest son. Cause honestly, I was waiting for him to be like, and he's such a wimp. He's such a wimp for not taking after me.
He could never build a raft.
Oh, I mean, neither can I, but you know. I mean,
neither could he. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Kate, I honestly think if you go in viewing it as we've described, it is roaringly funny because these people are insane.
I know. Yeah, if you're going to go watch it and... it could be fun to check out. I mean, you could just watch an episode or two. Like we say, the episodes are 8 minutes long, which is so strange. Yes. Then it could be enjoyable to check out just so you can see what we mean. I looked up some reviews and on Amazon, there are only 3 reviews. Mm. Someone named Hunter rated it 5 stars, but then said, waste of time. Who wants to search 2 hours to find a show to watch, then realize they are 10 minutes? What a joke. And then
all right, Hunter.
Tommy says, great hosts, expert advice.
Where did you see that? Because I didn't see any expert advice.
Like, what show did you watch?
I think it would actually be brilliant if we... I actually was like, at the beginning, I was like, this is what, oh my God, how am I going to talk about this on the podcast? Like, there's nothing to talk about. I don't really get the show. Then towards the end, I was like, I completely understand the appeal of the show. And what I would want more is, can you imagine a documentary series on him and that Canadian wife and those 3 maniac kids? It would be brilliant following their day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's what it should pivot to. I think that would be a lot more captivating.
She literally in one scene is just like, yeah, you just can hear her going, hello, darkness, my friend. Because she's like, yeah, I used to, you know, live in a big city. I used to wear 4-inch heels and now I barely even wear shoes. Like, I kid you not, she was not trying to say it to be funny, but it came out so deadpan. It was brilliant. I think if they put a camera crew with Josh and that family, it would be amazing. I would 100% watch it. Running around with no clothes on and shoes and karate kicking trees and she's trying to save the other kid. Like, it would be brilliant.
Every scenario they come across, I'm sure he approaches in the same way.
Yeah.
Where they're like taking the kids on an adventure and he's like, oh, didn't bring any snacks, didn't bring any diapers for the baby. I guess we'll just use a leaf to wipe its butt. Like, yeah.
Put
you know,
some moss around it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So by the end of it, when I start, and also I, once again, I think I didn't realize it was 2020 when you said that. So yeah. That does make a lot of sense because they desperately needed content. And it was, there was some sort of camera crew there because they were being filmed, and he did do like some interview style, but most of it was like on a GoPro, I believe, and maybe had a stat. I don't know. Some of it, there was someone there filming at some point, I think. But I didn't know if it was all just one big sizzle reel. I didn't know whether it was just like to possibly get a show. It makes no sense. I don't know who watches it. I'm glad I watched it because he's a maniac and I kind of want to see his YouTube channel now and this wife.
Okay, I have his latest episode or his latest vlog pulled up on YouTube. It's called Barbecue Balls, Hunting and Rafting Stag Party. And it's half an hour long. And the first thing that comes up is a warning that says parental guidance recommended, F-bombs.
Yeah, because it's a stag party, which is a, if you don't know, that's a bachelor party.
Right. So that's
imagine
the content.
Going on a bachelor party with him. I can guarantee you by the end of it, they were all naked, covered in each other's blood, and like chanting around a fire in the forest. That's how they ended up. They are kooks. And because of that, I would give it £250 for learning. I loved it.
Okay, yeah. So if you're a first-time listener, we rate 0 to 600 based on my 600-pound life. That's where we got the number. I'd go 200.
Okay.
Yeah. It was funny at parts. I was bewildered. It was low commitment.
Just so confusing. So confusing at what you were watching.
Just you don't notice a new episode starting. Like a new episode would start and I'd be like, oh, okay. So what happened? Yeah.
What is it? Any through line? Nope.
Nope.
Any explanation or narration? Nope. Just watch. Just watch. And you're like, all right. So cake, dude. It is so cake. Yes. So thank you, Will of Shame, for that. That was one of the newer ones we put on because I finally got around to adding some more shows, as I said last week, to our Wheel of Shame. And speaking off the Wheel of Shame, we should head on over right now. Okay, are you ready to go over?
Yeah, let's head.
You're good. You're good. All right.
Yep, I'm ready.
Let's go over. Guys, we're at Wheel of Shame.
We're here. Woo! We're here.
Okay, we are here, and we do have a lot on here. Like I say, I added some stuff last week, so not everything is murders and ghosts, but still some of that. We've got Alone, Frozen, Mean Girl Murders, Sin City, Buying Naked, which I told you I'm really excited about that.
Yes.
Strange Love, Houdini's Last Secrets, Yeti Massacre, The Staircase, which is actually a really intense documentary series. Anyway, what else? Deadly Women, Fatal Vows, Killer Bot. Oh my God, there's a lot in there. Ghost Adventures. Anything you fancy, Kate?
Naked Buyers. I'm with you. That sounds really fun.
Good. Let's put it into the ethos for the Wheel of Shame. Let's send it out because the Wheel of Shame is so good with giving us what we really, not always what we want, but what we need, we say with the Wheel of Shame.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's count it down. 3, 2, 1, spin. Round and round she goes, where she starts, nobody knows. Except we do, and it is, what is it? Don't know how to handle this one.
Oh.
So I'd forgotten this one is on.
Okay.
But okay. So what it is it's 90 Day to Single Life. Ooh. And that is currently airing.
Okay.
Have you watched any of it, Kate?
No, I've like read about it. I've heard people talking about it online. Could be fun to just watch like the latest episode and talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Because I have watched one or two, and Natalie's on there and she's still an absolute nut job, but she's in Los Angeles being a nut job, which is great.
Amazing.
Okay,
so, good opportunity to talk about Natalie. You're right.
That's true. Okay, so should we just do that? We'll watch the latest episode.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
All right, guys, that's what we're going to do. Some of you have been watching it. So I guess next week will be very 90 Day Heavy, but we'll watch The latest episode of 90 Day, The Single Life, for next week's Wheel of Shame episode, which comes out on a Wednesday. On a Tuesday, remember, we have our regular 90 Day Fiancé episode. Jesus Christ. And then on Friday, this Friday, Vanderpump Rules is starting again, guys. Now, there's been a lot online that's like, I don't think I'm ready to do this again. We're going to talk about Scandaville. We're going to go over it all again because they picked up filming pretty quickly after it all gone out. So how are you feeling about it, Kate?
I'm a little overwhelmed by the idea. It doesn't feel like that long since we were talking about Scandaville. And just, I think because of everything that happened afterwards and like, you know, Ariana's in the news so much and all over on Dancing with the Stars. It's like, it feels overexposed a little bit to me, yes. But I am a little interested to just see how they're going to set it all up, but we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. We'll
how
see.
Are you feeling?
I echo what you say. Yeah. I mean, I know there's going to be some stuff with some secrets are going to come out. I just think that the majority of it, we can predict what's going to happen. It's going to be the first couple of weeks, everyone angry at Sandoval. Then Sheena is going to be the one that's trying to make amends with him, which she ends up doing. And then she will end up hanging out with him and James will forgive him a little bit. And then by the end of it, everyone will be a bit pissed off at Ariana, but not really saying they're all pissed off apart from maybe one or two. Mm. And they'll all say, yeah, we never forgive Sandoval for what he did, but he's part of us. Rachel's gone. This is what it is. And that's going to be the whole season.
You're right. You nailed it. So we'll be reporting on that, everyone. Find us on social media, Tender Loving Care Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. We're on YouTube. You can find us there searching Tender Loving Care Podcast. You can watch the video versions of the episodes. And yeah, join us on Patreon. It's $5 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes. We cover all kinds of interesting, wild, and weird documentaries. And we have that episode coming out Friday as well.
We do. Yeah.
And we're covering, could you speak to what we're covering?
Yeah, this week. So this week, if you're a Patreon member on Friday, you'll get our Bravo show plus, only available to Patreon members, $5 a month, is the episode we're going to be covering, the Netflix documentary, Harvey and Katja. And it is a very poignant, tragic, enlightening, fascinating documentary about a couple of world-class ice skaters. It's enthralling. I think it's the way it ends, you would never see coming. It's amazing, guys. It really is. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out on Netflix. And that will be available, as we say, Friday morning for our Patreon members only. It's dead easy to sign up, guys. It helps support the show. As Kate said, $5 a month. You can see the link in our show notes or go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and search Tender Loving Care Podcast. Once you sign up, we send you personalized messages and thanks. And you've got like a catalog now of like 20 plus hours of extra shows that aren't available to you all if you're just listening to this regularly. So thank you for everyone that keeps signing up. We love seeing your emails. We love speaking to you. DM us on 10 to 11 Care Podcast. We respond to every single message and every single comment. We love you all. I think that's about it, Kate.
I think that sums it up. Thank you so much for being here. We will talk to you soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.